Okay, I'd like to call the meeting order. There's a flag posted outside, and we're gonna use that as a flag for the meeting, so please rise and join in the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Please call the roll.
Steve Alberts.
Here.
Bob McGinnis.
Here.
Dave Owen.
Here.
George Paul.
Here.
Paul Penny.
Here.
Tom Schneider is absent. Sharon Tobias.
Here.
Also in attendance are Dave Hicks.
Following participant, enter the conference.
No.
Joe Morgan.
Hi, Joe.
Also in attendance, Dave Hicks, Michael Minkler, Lee Schmieds, Pam Bowman. Guest today, Dave Egerton from CCWD, General Manager, and Bertha Underhill, the President of the Board of Directors of CCWD.
Does anyone have any matter to come before us that's not on the agenda? Very nice. Item A. In the last week, each one of you has received a copy of Resolution 15-1027, which is a resolution authorizing Blue Lake Springs Mutual Water Company to move forward with a purchase agreement of water from the Calaveras County Water District. And I'll need a motion to accept the resolution.
I move we accept the resolution.
Is there a second?
A second.
Is there any discussion on the question? Any questions about the resolution? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Public discussion, Bob.
I'm sorry?
Do you want to allow for a public discussion? Public comment on the item?
After we vote.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I lost track of that. The ayes again?
Aye.
Would you signify the name, call the roll, so we get the ayes and the...
For ayes or nays, Steve Alberts.
Aye.
Bob McGinnis.
Chair votes aye.
Dave Owen.
Aye.
George Paul.
Aye.
Paul Penny.
Aye.
Tom Schneider is absent. Sharon Tobias.
Aye.
There are no nays.
No nays. One absent.
All right, okay, matter carries. Any public comments on the resolution?
I just had a couple of things because I'm, you know, kind of out of the discussion in the negotiations, and I just had a couple of comments. I thought it was very interesting. I said this morning that your map was out of Hecker Realty. It's been non-existent for I don't know how many years now. So that was, it served its purpose.
We try and keep the cost down.
And okay, negotiations certainly started a long time before I was around, and I see it was the mid-1960s, and so, you know, you've been working hard on it, and that's great. On page number 3, there is a 2.4 talks about back road protection, and because I'm not that familiar, is the backflow device the only way to detect any backflow into CCWD system?
A backflow device, the reduced pressure backflow preventer.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a backflow occurring, it will automatically open and dump to the atmosphere. So it's visually, you can see when there's a backflow. And otherwise, you don't know it. The water is just going through, and it's a pipe with two checks and an opening in the middle that works on the difference between the pressures coming in and the pressures going out. if there's a reduced pressure going out from, or an increase, like if they're, we're pumping against you, or there's a big break and there's, our water's coming back toward you, then that'll dump. And that's why it's called a reduced pressure backflow preventer.
Is that the, that's not the PRV?
No. Pressure regulator valve is something to regulate the pressure in the,
right,
the pipes that are feeding homes.
The main purpose of it, and it's one that we talked about, and mainly Dave Hicks and Charles of your staff, because it's really an operational issue. The main purpose of it was to make sure that there's no untreated water that would go from our system into CCWD system. And so the language here is flexible enough, I think, to allow us to apply whatever technology we need to address that issue. But we, you know, we're clear that that's the point of that provision, is to make sure there's no contamination or untreated water going into CCWD system.
Yeah, because the only other question that I had was the fact that you're going to check your backflow on a yearly basis, an annual inspection?
That's required, and it has to be a certified tester. And he comes in, and they have gauges, and they measure the differential, and then if it's not within a certain range, then it fails. So.
Okay. Page number four. I really like 2.7, and that's the commitment to the conjunctive use system, because, you know, we're hearing all over the place, we want conjunctive use, you know, of everything, you know, get as many partners as you possibly can. And so I thought that was, you know, great the way that it was written.
I wrote that. I edited it.
Okay, and so we're using CCWD standard rate for an 4-inch master meter. Mm-hmm. So,
because all of the consumed, well, the 6-inch right for right now is only
right.
For fire flow protection.
Right.
So, the consumed water sent to the distribution system would go through the 4-inch meter. And so, one thing we wanted to do is make sure we try to apply the standard rates that we have. You know, again, the whole perspective, you know, and I know this took, why it took so long to get to this point, was really trying to think about, okay, all the different audiences that could be looking at this agreement, from our existing customers to your existing customers to future customers, and how they would look at it, and whether they, anything that they could question, and us being able to say, look, this is fair to everybody involved and anybody else that we have to think about. And so, I think that helped us in being able to do that on the rate side, to be able to apply the existing rates. You know, so it's we didn't create anything different than what exists on the books now.
Because you're right, if anybody can come in and, you know, pick it apart, they will.
That's okay.
Okay.
Well, and that's why it's important that we really distinguish the fact that we've got the long relationship. It's a different situation in that it's a wholesale supply. There's a conjunctive use program going on. That gave us the flexibility, particularly on the front end, the gaining access to the immediate, you know, 100,000 gallons in the summer and more other times. Being able to provide that, that gave us the space to be able to make come up with something that we could do to make it happen. So.
On page number six, I just couldn't quite wrap my head around it. This is under cost of additional capacity.
It's a tricky one.
Yeah. If the water company has already added more than 150 connections between the effective date of this agreement and the date of payment for complete reliance on CCWD, should that say the water company instead of then? It says then water company will pay for each of the connections added during that time instead of the 158.
Actually, both work there, because the point of that is what the agreement calls for is the water company to pay an additional 158 connection fees if treatment plant expansion is required to provide that capacity. But what that's saying is, unless we've already added more than 158, you're not going to give it to us for 158. We're going to have to pay for whatever's actually been added. So if 175 have been added, then that makes sense that we would pay for those 175.
Oh.
As opposed to just the 158. We can change it. We can take that out.
No, that's
Bertha, wrong. Please don't ask me. These guys are tough negotiators, so we'll have to do that too.
And then the only other, this is my last one, page number 8, dispute resolution. Yeah, that sounds kind of menacing. And so, did you guys go through any scenarios?
Michael wrote that one.
Oh.
After some couple therapy. No, we did consider a couple of different alternatives. And I think, and that one is a, you know, I see why it would grab your attention. It's a little bit of a more detailed dispute resolution provision than you often see. But I think the point is to try to get the parties to collaborate. Like right now, we know we have a good, you know, working relationship, but we also know that hasn't always been the case, and we don't know how that's going to play out in the future. But to try to get the parties, you know, just continue to work together to resolve issues as opposed to jump into litigation or some other method.
I'm just here because I own property, but it seems to me we better have an avenue for resolving disputes before you get into one. That's been my experience.
Mm-hmm. So we have a pretty good point. Detailed.
We really want to avoid people feeling like that if they come to there's some kind of an argument, issue arises and there's not a meeting of the minds on an issue, that they feel like they got to go into court straight to court to get what they thought they negotiated in this agreement. And so we want to make sure that before either can do that, you have to go through a lengthy, pretty involved process, that we make sure that it keeps bumping up, we keep moving, you know, we can't work it out at staff level, it goes to board members. And then it ultimately would go to mediation, which I found to be incredibly helpful in resolving disputes. And only then would you have the opportunity to go to litigation. So, and the way that you, you know, I thought that was a really good way you wrote that up, Michael, is that the way to make sure that actually is basically, we honor that, is that if you don't go through that process, you put yourself at risk of having to pay attorney's fees. If you go to court, you start litigation, and you lose it, then you may have to pay the fees. So.
Okay, and there was one section in there where I read that, you know, whatever you're doing with water is exclusively with CCWD. That's where you're at now. Because at one time you were going to...
You mean as far as no resale of the... I think the thought is that there's no addition. You're not wheeling water to somebody else in this agreement. We know it's going to you guys because the deal is with you guys.
We're not
going to
make a profit off your water.
No, is what that we is. Have no intention of doing that. Nor do we have any intention of looking at any other provider.
But I do think it's a real strength of it that you guys will continue to run your organization, continue to take care of your lines, your system. You got a groundwater system. From my standpoint, and I'm going to say that to the board tomorrow and I have before, is that I'd love to see you guys continue to use your wells as long as you possibly can. I mean, that's good for everybody. That's something that we wanted to, again, it's a wholesale arrangement. You know, I want to make sure that we really respect the fact that you have two different jurisdictional bodies, and I hope that's what people in the community can understand, is it's not trying to take over anybody, not trying to encroach upon your work that you guys do. It's simply trying to give you another resource, a water resource to meet your needs.
And the fact that it's a fair arrangement in terms of what we've done in the community before, making sure that, you know,
we wouldn't be here for work. Mm-hmm. the nice thing, if there is a nice thing about a contract, it has pieces that are important to both of us. Mm-hmm. Now, you don't get everything you want. And in true negotiations, you probably shouldn't. But we value this. We think it's more than fair. And it's reflective of the energy that Dave and Dave have put into this thing.
So it wouldn't happen without him. I'll give you that one. We've had some experience before, and we all know that. And we'll leave all that to historians. We're looking forward to a long-time partnership on it.
Well, this was something that I said initially when, you know, we first hired Dave, and I was at one of your meetings, I said, I know that this is going to get done. Mm-hmm. Because it's just been out there forever, it seems like. And he came in with his negotiation skills and, you know, whatever he had to do, and did it, and I'm just, you know, extremely proud.
It should be.
Mm-hmm.
It should be. So are we.
Well, I just want to say that, Bob, you got a fantastic general manager, general counsel, that, very, very knowledgeable people, very, very skilled at what they do with a ton of integrity. And it made it easy for us to do it. And I got to say, Charles Palmer on our side, our district engineer, spent a ton of time on this as well. And that was generally, even though we didn't know exactly how we'd get there, I think everybody felt like we wanted to see it succeed, that we were willing to try to do whatever it took to find some kind of compromise that we could both stand up and support to our boards and recommend.
Plus, I think people are acutely aware of water now, where they weren't a few years ago. Mm-hmm. And one of the other byproducts that will come out of this is that we share, and I'll mention this tomorrow if invited, we share a common cause that hasn't been needed in the past. And I think you see a lot more of this. I agree with you. I think you see a lot more of this. Water's an incredible resource, and we can no longer take it for granted.
There's one thing, though, I will say, down in the Bay Area, I was in my dentist's office, I was talking about the drought. Moments of drought? What drought? Sure. Believe me, there's some dummies around.
Talking about your dentist now.
No, not my dentist. She's working now.
Okay. Any other comments? Any comments to the board?
I have one question.
Yes.
On page 3, it's 2.1. Just at the top of the page. Not to say that I have any beef with the contract. This clause a bit confusing.
Is it how it's calculated?
Well, CCWD will provide maximum available capacity of 100,000 gallons per day from May 1st through September 30th.
Each year.
Yeah.
Well, I understand that. That's on an annual basis. But then, in furtherance of the goal to maximize longevity, groundwater supply, the water company may rely on CCWD for its entire demand, even if it exceeds 100,000 gallons, from October through April 30th, as long as capacity is available.
So,
go ahead. Okay, I guess if capacity, if 45,000 gallons a day, we're going to pay for 45,000 gallons a day, period, correct?
Right.
If that capacity is not available.
Unless it's not available. I see what you're. There's a couple of things going on there. One is, and I think this is an example of good faith on the part of CCWD, because this was actually a suggestion that they came to us with, that, you know, really the constraint that they have on capacity is during the summer. So that's where the limitation needs to be. But if it helps us extend the length of our groundwater supply to use more than that 100,000 gallons a day during the winter, then as long as there's no capacity issue with CCWD, then that water's available to us. And that was something that came to us with unprompted, which I thought was really a show of their good faith in trying to make this work. And the minimum, there are circumstances contemplated in here elsewhere where if that minimum supply isn't available, then I think I'm trying to recall if it depends on why or not, but we would only pay for what we take.
Well, that's fine. If I guess the other part of my question, though, is and I understand there's a seasonal deal here as to when water's available. May 1st through September 30th is our high demand period, no question. But I didn't know why we would isolate October through April as a different period for supply. I mean, we're looking to supply, to buy that water, 45,000 gallons of water on a monthly basis, 12 months a year.
So that's
it's the, my understanding.
Mm-hmm. And that's what this contract does, is that we're on the hook to purchase that minimum quantity 12 months a year. The only difference there is the maximum available. We can exceed 100,000 gallons a day in the winter months as opposed to the summer months where that's going to be a hard cap. But the minimum doesn't change throughout the year.
Okay, so the minimum remains the same throughout, it's what you're saying, okay, that's...
That's a good point. I never thought of the minimum applying in the summer because, that makes sense. And from my standpoint, the reason I really wanted to see language like this about, you know, having some minimum in the other months was to really incentivize trying to just rest your wells as much as you can in the off-peak season so that, this would allow you, if you so chose to, you could take as much as you wanted. Because we don't have an issue. It's only the rating of our plant and then our peak capacity and for my program, the peak of the summer. And to make sure we don't go beyond, we preserve enough, additional capacity for other customers coming in.
But that provision, George, is really focused on maximum daily capacity. It's not going to limit the minimum amount that we have to take.
I understand that. Okay.
Good point. Any other questions or comments? You guys on the phone, you have any questions or comments?
No.
This is Joe Morgan. I had a question with regard to if there's any cutback, how does CCWD allocate the cutback to Blue Lake Springs versus the other customers? Is there proportionality to that or what?
Proportionality is a great word. There's a requirement in here that if CCWD is implementing conservation measures for their customers, that we basically have to match or exceed whatever it is that they're implementing. And that just makes sense. They should, we should be on equal footing in that respect.
And I'm glad you asked that question. That was what I was going to mention is that so right now we just came down a little bit in our conservation requirements because we did so well in the summer and we want to give ourselves to avoid some of the fatigue on conservation that we get in the public if you stay always at a high alert all the time. We've gone back to 20% mandatory conservation right now. So that would be, for you guys to decide, but you would have the, within this arrangement, at least for the quantum of water that, you're getting into this agreement, you could go down, you could come down on your requirements as well, if that's, what you wanted to do.
That's something we're gonna visit.
Yeah.
So in other words, at this point, if you're, let's say, you're at 20% reduction, goal of 20% reduction, that 20%, does that apply to our 45,000 gallons?
It would apply to whatever you would take. But the reality, though, is because it's hard to, what molecule goes where. Basically, it would be, you're representing that you'll be at least at a standard of conservation as stringent as what we have in place. So we can turn to say to the state and everybody else, we're not this quantum of water is basically being exempted from conservation. We don't want to be in that position. But it would only apply when we have mandatory. So if it's a request of voluntary conservation, that's not an issue. Then it's again in your discretion, but.
But it doesn't impact the take or pay minimum, I think is what your question is. So where there are mandatory drought restrictions in place, our minimum actually goes down to 40,000. So this goes into 40,000. there's not, you wouldn't see a 20% of that. What the contract expects, though, is that we would impose a 20% requirement on our customers. We would expect them to be, you know, conserving at least to the same extent that CCWD is asking their customers to do. But it wouldn't directly, you wouldn't see that reduction directly in what the available capacity to us.
So within our purview of the water company, let's say it's 20% reduction, and we have the authority to reduce the 20% of the water taken from our wells, as opposed to the 20% of the water taken from CCWD.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I guess it's a good question, because I think really all the And I don't think we're going to get in so much into the enforcement of it, but what we're going to expect and what the agreement says is basically that you, as a board, would take an action to implement conservation measures. And it doesn't say exactly what they would look like, but it would just say they would at least be as stringent as what we have in place. So, you know, we're not going to be the water cops on this. You know, and you guys have demonstrated, your customers have demonstrated, you're doing an amazing job on conservation. So again, all we would want to see is that, you know, you guys could just say, you know, we would let you know, look, we're looking at, you know, taking this to our board to go to 20% required conservation, and then we would ask, you know, you guys, can you do something as well under our agreement? And then once you did that, you would meet your obligation under the agreement. So.
But the same amount of water would be available to us. The agreement doesn't distinguish between whose water we're conserving.
Right.
The assumption is just that we're operating the system as efficiently as possible, and that those conservation measures are in place regardless of whether we're purchasing 45 that month or 85.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, we can in turn say, look, they're very efficient in their water use and have you know, required this level of conservation that they're doing on their end. So that's all we're looking to do.
So if we get a question from a ratepayer, this agreement in no way whatsoever curtails or limits or, you know, assess any parameters by which this water company can function. I mean, we take the water from CCWD, mm-hmm. we use that water in any way, shape, or form that this water company chooses to use it.
Yeah, that's clearly, that's when the line is at the meter, and we send it to you guys, okay. and you have responsibility from that point on. Yeah,
okay, the sure. line's at the meter.
Yeah, same that we do with the water out of the well.
What's that?
The same we would do with water out of the well.
I mean, the only
a reduction, we don't reduce our reduction by 20%. That's the question I think you're asking. Would the minimum per day be reduced by 20%? Is that correct?
Right, and also we have the right to manage
exactly.
that 20%. And
that's
so we
correct.
Can manage it, reducing the take from our wells or
that's correct.
Based within your ability to handle groundwater and surface water.
Exactly.
That's probably what's going to determine the whole issue more so than than who we're taking the water from.
But the daily allowance does not.
As long as the well holds up.
That's the point.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And in fact, if you're seeing your groundwater levels being affected by drought, and that's the most advantageous way to protect your water resources across the board is to deal with it.
I'd assume there'd be some communication from us to you as to what we're doing.
Yeah, because you bet. And again, our big goal here is we want to see that these wells last as long as they can. You know, that's good for all of us. That, from our perspective, that's good because that means we don't have to do system improvements in the near term. You know,
I've got one other question. Yeah. When you say that the conjunctive use and the extension of the use of our wells. Mm-hmm. It contributes to CCWD's supply. It expands your supply, our wells do. Is there any chance that you might look favorably upon supporting an application to, what is it, CPPA for power on any new wells that we might develop?
Oh, yeah. I mean, whatever you guys, I'm happy to have that conversation with you if there's some way, you know, that we could do it within the rules that exist, I'm happy to have that conversation. I know, we're all up against it, and we, you know, I'm sure like us, you feel like you're at the limit of what you can do on rates.
The issue is ownership. That's what the issue has been.
And we can actually visit that topic, because there's going to be some more, you know, we're not done negotiating yet. We've got some cleanup work to do regarding some of our current easements, the location of our current wells. So we have some property issues that we need to just clean up, basically. It's stuff that we, I think, agree with the way it's being used. It's just a matter of getting the right easements in place and the right documents in place. And we can revisit.
Yeah, I can barely hear you when you die off like that. Could you please keep up your tone?
All right, Steve. I was just saying that we have some property issues that we need to, you know, once this contract is done, we thought about trying to tackle it all at the same time, but it seemed like that was taking on too much. So once this is taken care of, we have some property issues that we need to clean up with CCWD anyways, in terms of the location of some easements and our wells and things like that. So that's the CPPA issue for the new wells is something we can talk about during that process.
Yeah, I'm not suggesting that we have any new issues enter into these discussions.
And that was...
And the issues, they're not contentious issues, they're truly...
I understand.
It's just, yeah, it's nice that we can do that, but I think if we can have a conversation about anything like the tower or whatever, that's, let's do it.
If we can do this, we can do anything.
It sounded pretty good to me, because I don't know what I'm talking about. But I do have a question. Is there anywhere along Calaveras County where we could build a dam or something, some way, to store water to put into your system, to recharge the wells or whatever?
You mean upstream of your community? Is that what you're...
Wherever. I mean, any place we can store water and then pipe it down into a well or something like that, which is what they're doing.
Somebody must have paid you. This plays right into the Warner contract effort that we're...
Right.
No, it's downstream of here, but it is actually storage.
It's happening in Rossmore. Mm-hmm. You know, desert over there, and they're building this huge dam, and then they're going to recharge their wells.
The problem with that up here, we have looked into... to well recharge, but we're in a fractured bedrock environment where we can never be sure that our wells are actually contained, you know, in a single basin. So we may just be, you know, if we did that, we might just be pumping water and then it never seeing it again.
Yeah, okay.
So. But that is something in the very near future I'd love to bring back to you, to this board, is a request to support our effort to obtain a WARNAC contract in New Malones to store 100,000 acre feet of water there. And our challenge is we've got upstream storage in the upper reaches, but we don't have it farther down the system. And if we had the ability to park some water in New Malones, we could use it for drought protection. We could use some in county. We could partner with Tuolumne, so the Tuolumne agencies provide some water to their drought-stricken residents. We could also have a backup water supply to the air base, the Columbia Air Attack Base, and do some groundwater recharge down in the basin, Beecham San Joaquin Basin, that covers a portion of the western county. In any event, I know it's kind of a little bit physically removed, but the reality is it's all part of this pool of water resources that we're trying to preserve, and anything we can do down there can free up some things up here that provide for more options in the future for you guys. So.
Makes sense. And we would stand with you.
Thank you.
Any other questions, comments from the board?
Go ahead,
Joe. I had a question. Joe Morgan, you had a question. Is there a standing committee or something where the two organizations communicate with each other? Is there a process established?
No, there's no formal process, Joe, but you know, I think Dave Hicks works with their operational staff pretty regularly. I think they're pretty open lines of communication right now, but there's no, you know, we don't have regular meetings or a formal process.
We have something called the Highway 4 that's an ad hoc committee.
That's true.
Where Blue Lake Springs is a part, mm-hmm. and so we've been doing communication that, you know, in that
mm-hmm.
venue, so.
Joe, are you talking about?
Yeah, no, those are general communications. So you're saying the day-to-day stuff is through the general managers, I assume.
Right.
And we've got, once this contract goes into effect, we've got some reporting requirements. You know, there's some, we're not going to be strangers. You know, we're going to have to monitor the use of our water and report it back to them. And so there will be actually some formal channels established in that sense.
Yeah, one of the things we're going to do is meet on a periodic basis to actually, you know, to talk about it. You know, do you have any for additional water that we would, and do we have available supplies that we could provide something above and beyond the 100,000 gallons? And that's possible. In time, we may have some things with some of the projects like Reach 3A and Reach 1. We may have some additional conserved water through that. So those things will happen. But I mean, I think it'd be great if we could, you know, maybe in 6 months or a year, come back and check in with our boards and see how things are going.
Well, I was thinking, you know, for instance, like an annual meeting where the two boards would compare notes or get together, lay out general issues or future plans or something like that.
Yeah, I'd welcome that. I think that's a good idea.
Sure.
We have a pretty big boardroom, so that you are entirely welcome to come visit with us.
Yeah, I think that's something we can explore.
Yeah, I'm just looking for the formality of, you know, I was thinking periodically there's a board get together.
I think that's a good idea, Joe. I don't know if, I mean, I know Bertha and Dennis have come to our meetings in the past, but I don't know if any of our board members have met any of the other CCWD board members, and more communication is better. So I think that's a good idea.
Sometimes it's best to meet when there's no issue.
Right. Yeah, establish a relationship when it's not a negotiation.
Why don't we just jointly think about a working group, make it smaller, keep it simple, where the general managers meet, maybe a board member from each group, and then keep it that way. Try that for a while and see how this thing shakes out.
That's a good idea.
Maybe invite each other to each other's holiday parties.
Well,
yeah. Let's take it slow.
Actually, that's in the agreement. We get tickets to the holiday party.
Right. Yeah.
We'll give them to you before you leave. Anything else on this matter?
Jeff Davidson's always scared the hell out of me.
Glad we got that on the record.
Okay. I'll take that as a word. Item next is for information only on the bid process. The last regular meeting we discussed the bid process. I'd like to have you, we haven't got any comments back yet. Please get your comments by Friday the 30th. Motion to adjourn.
I have a comment. It's kind of off subject, but Bertha brought up the map from Ecker Realty. This information is about 3 years old. Mm-hmm. Jim Hecker, Rick Hecker's youngest son, mm-hmm. went off to the Air Force Academy.
Right, right.
And like I say, this information is about 3 years old. He was a fighter pilot, and he had just become the commander of the drone program down at Creech Air Force Base. And he was the boss of the guys flying the drones in Abu Dhabi and Iraq and
wow.
whatnot and so forth. He's in charge of the guys that sit there and,
yep.
and drive them. And that's and he became a full, he was a full colonel. Wow. Anyway, out of Arnold. Yeah.
There's another one too from the Air Force Academy here. It's pretty good.
Can I get a motion to adjourn?
I move.
I second.
Thank you.
All right, I just have one.
Don't leave until you hear lots of sound.